Lights Out Till Dawn, written by Dee Williams and read by Kim Hicks.
Chapter 1. Blitz Kids. August 1939.
What should we do, Mum?
Renee Morgan was sitting at her mother's kitchen table, tears running down her cheeks. She was holding the letter that had arrived that morning after she had left for work.
We knew it might happen, but we thought it would be just a trial run, you know, so that they can get all the kids together and in the right place. But this...
She threw the letter onto the table.
It sounds as if it's going to be the real thing.
I don't know what to say, love.
Maud looked at her sympathetically.
Perhaps it is just a rehearsal, as you said. You know, to get the kids to school and show them what they have to do if the worst happens.
He says here that they have to be at the school at 7 o'clock on Saturday, September the 2nd. They have to take a change of clothes, all with their name in, a toothbrush, a comb, a handkerchief, and a bag of food to last them all day. Drinks will be provided.
What shall I do, Mum?
She asked again.
Do I let them go?
I can't tell you what to do with your kids. And we know what John thinks about all this.
Renee knew what her husband John thought. They had discussed it for weeks, and he wanted them to be safe. Air raid shelters were being set up all over London. Gas masks and identity cards were being distributed. Leaflets were being delivered nearly every day, telling them about the precautions they had to take, how to make blackout curtains and put strips of sticky paper over their windows.
I ain't putting no sticky paper all over my windows, Maud had said when that leaflet arrived. I'll never get them clean again.
It's to stop the glass splintering and flying about in an air raid, Ma, said John.
It was all very frightening for everyone.
John was only saying last night that he reckons Rotherhithe could be a target with having the railway lines at the bottom of the road and the docks just over the bridge. If Hitler does start bombing, it'll be the docks he'll be after.
Renee sniffed back a tear. Maud Stevens gently patted her daughter's hand.
Don't say that, love.
She picked up the letter and reread its contents.
Poor little buggers, been sent off to God only knows where, and to God knows...
She stopped. She didn't want to say any more. She didn't want to voice her fears that her precious grandchildren could be harmed.
Perhaps there won't be a war, said Renee, dabbing at her eyes. After all, the Wiley said that Mr. Chamberlain has given Germany an ultimatum.
The Germans.
Maud pulled her floral wraparound overall tighter round her slim body.
Your father always reckoned they were a right bunch of troublemakers.
Renee knew her father's opinion about any foreigners. He'd been a merchant seaman since he was 15. And Renee and her sisters Betty and Maggie had loved it when he came home with wonderful presents, telling them tales about the far-off lands he'd been to. For a few years, Renee's two children, Hazel and Peter, had also enjoyed his presents and stories. Everybody was very sad when he had died last year from pneumonia, but his memory and sayings still filled their lives.
What do the kids have to say about it?
The teachers have made it sound like a big adventure. What if they get ill or, heaven forbid, badly treated?
John'll be wherever they're sent like a shot.
Mum, John reckons he'll be called up. Being a car mechanic ain't a reserved occupation.
Once again, Renee burst into tears. Maud stood up and went round the table and held her daughter close. She patted Renee's dark, wavy hair. If there was a war, what was going to happen to them all? Renee was still sitting at her mother's table when Hazel and Peter came racing in, Hazel stomping in her roller skates. It was August, and the children were on school holiday, and like all their friends, they'd been playing in the street on their skates and scooters.
How many times do I have to tell you to take those off before you come in?
Sorry, Mum,
said Hazel, looking a bit sheepish as she sat down to unbuckle her skates.